Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right. Back to some Rose Bowl talk in a bit. Let's do a seggy on Boise State.
Let's talk about it.
Yep, they're getting ready to kick off against Penn State. They are down in Glendale, I believe. Is that the Fiesta Bowl?
You are correct, sir. Where Boise State obviously has that's the site of the first BCS bust, and that was them beating Oklahoma. That was the Zimbranski.
Oh.
And then they were back a couple years later, and they actually beat the number three team in the country. That was undefeated TCU, right? They knocked them off. And then they went back to the Fiesta Bowl a couple years after that, and they beat Arizona. Remember, that was the year Arizona had Rich Rod. And they were, I think they were at the time maybe number 11-ish in the country. And I'm trying to think. I think Boise might have one more Fiesta Bowl win.
So
they have had some big moments at the Fiesta Bowl over the years against, look, none of those teams were national title type teams, but against good teams that physically Boise State was not supposed to beat. So the question becomes is Penn State a national title team, or is Penn State more like those Oklahoma, TCU, Arizona teams that are good, not great?
What do you think? You think they can knock them off?
I think they can. I don't think they will. I don't.
But I mean, is it a game where it's like this is going to go down to the wire?
I don't.
Or everything's going to have to go right for them to even keep it close?
I think everything has to go right. And unfortunately, I don't think this Boise State team. It's weird because I've seen Boise State play probably four or five times this year, and the one that makes you believe it is the Oregon game. They were better than Oregon. They had Oregon, with the exception of the kick returns, and that's just Boise State doesn't have the athletes. Remember when we watched Indiana play Notre Dame? There was just a stark athletic difference. And when you watch Boise against the Oregons of the world, I know this sounds funny because Boise State had them, but especially when you watch like the kick returns, just from a physical standpoint, they just aren't there with the Oregon Ducks of the world. And I think over the course of a season, over the course of four quarters, most of the time, that stuff will bear itself out. I mean, and so when you look at those Boise State teams, this was the team last year that fired Andy Avalos. They promoted their defensive coordinator, and they got it to Genty to stick around, and they've got one or two guys on the defense. It's a nice team that's playing hard, and they have really one of the special backs. But if you were to take all those Boise teams, this is probably the worst of those Boise kind of BCS teams. This has not been, if you look back at the last 6 or 7 years of Boise State, this is a program that was in the decline. I'm not certain that this is the kind of the ascension of Boise, or it's just it's a scrappy group of guys that played really well, and they have a truly transcendent back that was able to carry them, and they got a little magic in the air, and they're running with it. I don't think this is like a great team.
Outside of Genty, what does Boise bring that gets them past Penn State?
Nothing.
And that's what, I mean, I haven't looked too deeply into this one, but that would be my first thought. It's like, okay, Penn State obviously keys on Genty. That doesn't mean that they shut Genty down, but Penn State is a good defense.
Yes.
And should be able to, well, how do I want to say it? I mean, they should be able to do enough to, I mean, Genty can't just run for 250 and beat them. They will not let that happen.
Genty may get his, but they probably can't do enough otherwise to make a difference.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, but I don't even think that. I think that, in other words, Boise State doesn't have anything else, so Penn State's going to throw all their eggs at Genty, and that still may mean Genty gets 120 yards, but it may be 120 really difficult yards and a lot of field goals, and they lose by 20.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't see how, outside of Genty just going crazy and Penn State simply cannot contain him,
yeah,
what what else does Boise have?
Nothing really. And it's funny is that when you when I've watched Boise State and then going into this, I always try to dig into some of these games and you look at some of the advanced analytics. And again, you know, I'm not saying analytics are everything, but you know, against like the 89th best schedule in the country, Boise State's offensive line only has, so they do this with, they call it yards that the offensive line gets and then yards that Genty gets, right? So a lot of times when you see a back that plays really well, it's like, you know, it's the Emmitt Smith theory, right? Emmitt Smith yards were different than Barry Sanders yards. Boise State only is the 39th best offensive line in yards gained. So it's not as if they have like this phenomenal O-line that's blowing people off the ball.
And Genty's got all these yards after contact. So.
He's one of the best after contact guys we've ever seen in college football. And then the quarterback they have in Maddox is, I mean, I hate to say it, but he's just, he's okay. But when you watch him play, he doesn't push the ball downfield. They don't have receivers that particularly scare you. And so I wish I could sit there and point to stuff where I said all of this stuff is going to give Penn State problems. But I think when you watch Boise State, which is phenomenal that they've made it here, but the game plan should be simple. Play 9 guys in the box and dare someone else to beat you. But even against Oregon, when they did a good job against Genty, and they did for a lot of that game, he still ended up with the 70-yard touchdown run. And so, yeah, is there a window for Boise State to win? Sure, right? They're going to play with their hair on fire. They play very hard. They play very aggressive. But physically up front, this should not be a game over 4 quarters that Boise State should be able to hold up. Especially if Penn State plays... These last 3 or 4 weeks, Penn State's offense seems to have come out of its shell, and Drew Aller is playing a lot better, and they've gotten both of their backs healthy, and you saw this when they played Oregon. You saw this in the game against SMU.
They averaged 10 yards a carry against Oregon. Yeah,
they are really starting to click and lock in, and I'm not certain. Like, when we watched Oregon go up and down the field on Penn State, it was because they can do multiple things, and Penn State couldn't focus on one thing, and Oregon had a big physical line. Penn State plays a little bit of kind of like what Boise State does. They're not the biggest group up front. Like, even their best player, you know, Carter, the defensive end, he's not this big, rugged. Like, you look at Oregon's front, even their defensive ends are 270, 290 pounds. Penn State kind of moves, jumps around blocks a little bit. And that's what Boise State does. That's what kind of what Penn State does. And so I'm not even certain that Boise State can just line up and knock Penn State off the ball and force them out of that. I just... And I don't think they can throw their way out of it like Oregon did against Ohio State, where it said, hey, you better back off a safety. I think Penn State is just going to play everyone at the line of scrimmage, and I don't think Maddox or any of the Boise State receivers scare Penn State enough to really force them to do anything different. So we talk about this all the time. I think there's one narrow path for Boise State to win, and they've proven that they can do it over the years, but I don't think this is that special Boise team. I just think it's a good team with a special player.
Well, Penn State, they keep proving it. They win in all types of ways.
Yes.
And even on the other side of the ball, even if they can score points with Genty, their defense is not going to offer any resistance against Penn State. They are, you know, they're the second to worst tackling team in the entire country.
Yeah,
Boise is. They're playing in the Mountain West. Like, that's a problem against a much bigger, more physical team.
Yeah,
and they don't apply any pressure on the opposing quarterback. So Aller's going to sit back there and not make any mistakes, and they're just going to push him around.
Yeah, Aller, that dude can make himself a lot of money in the next 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Starts here.
So, I mean, I hope Boise State, you know, pulls the upset. I hope Boise State makes this a great game. I just... Not that the Fiesta Bowls that they've been in haven't been big games. But they have been one-offs, right? And we talk about this all the time, that when Oklahoma or someone like this plays in one of these games, I hate to use the "it doesn't matter," because it certainly does. But that is Boise State's proving ground, right? That is their Super Bowl. This is Penn State. Like, you're not getting Penn State that's going to look at Boise State and be like, well, it's just another game. Like, this is different. This is all the marbles. I mean, this is on a path for a national championship. And I think Penn State went into the season saying, hey, we have a national title team. And Boise State certainly wasn't thinking that. And in these sorts of games, with the exception of maybe TCU beating Michigan that one a couple years back in one of these, when we've gotten to the playoff games, the Cincinnati's of the world, the Michigan States of the world, kind of the little engine that could, and those teams are still, I would say, obviously more stacked than Boise was. those games have usually ended one way, and that's with the more physical, more dominant team across the board kind of asserting their will. And I think that probably is why everyone's looking at this and saying, this is a two-touchdown game.
X factor here, notoriously slippery field. You may remember this from the Oregon-Auburn championship game.
Yeah.
Because it's real grass, and they roll it out, or they roll it in from outside.
Yeah.
And so the dry air outside and the wetter air inside makes it sweat, and it puddles. I was listening to somebody who said that they covered a Fiesta Bowl recently, or a game there, and said that literally you can walk on the sideline and step in puddles of water.
Oof.
Because of that stupid field.
How messed up it is.
Yeah. So that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and slop it up a little bit. Like, if you're the less athletic team, a la Boise State, I think you want to play in the slop like that. So, you know, and maybe Genty is just that truly special guy that can carry him. Or maybe, you know, Penn State doesn't show up. Like, they have a history of not showing up in these games.
I can see Boise State keeping it close.
I hope so.
But you're making me uncomfortable.
I go back and ask, how many players for Boise State would, not that this is, you know, the difference in you know, the end all to be all, but how many players for Boise State would start for Penn State? I think you're probably talking about 3 to 4. And,
well,
you know, that's over the course of four quarters. And again, I think over the course of the season, attrition matters and you get beat up. And I think Boise at the beginning of the year, if you're going to have one of those games, you're more likely to get it. But you Boise has had some rest, which is, it was a good thing for them, because Genty towards the end of the year was kind of nicked up and dinged. So this is about as healthy as you're going to get at this point. And if I'm Boise, I sit down with that kid and I say, hey, man, you're going to touch the ball 40 times. Hell or high water, man. We are living and dying with number two.
Well, will we have the exact same conversation we just had about that game, about this next game coming up next? I don't know. We might. Can Arizona State shock the world? That's next on The Fan.
He's got a dog mentality.
All right, Happy New Year. Almost. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., you're going to get the first game, first playoff game. You're going to get Texas, Arizona State.
10 a.m., you'll also get Ducks game day right here on The Fan.
Yeah, you should listen to that, but also have Texas, Arizona State on TV.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, Buckley will not be on Ducks game day. He'll be en route.
Slacker.
To the game. So we'll have two fan personalities at the game. Dusty and Buck.
Even though Dusty stiff-armed Buckley to be on the sidelines, which, wait, not exactly. Look at Dusty big-timing us now.
Dusty came on the Ducks Roundtable show live from Pasadena last night.
Yeah. What was he reporting?
Just odds and ends from Media Day, and they hadn't been to the field
That's
yet.
That's too generic. Like what? What is that? What? Give me a nugget.
Let's see.
What's he bringing to the table down there? Mm. What has he provided the fan for all of that money they spent to send him down there? Oh, wait. They didn't spend a dime.
No.
But
no,
an didn't. Odyssey station.
He goes with the Ducks. Mm.
They're hand-painting the field.
Ah!
They're hand-painting?
He has a photo of it.
What a nuggie.
What is
it? It's the field is so finely manicured down there, they're not even spraying it with a stencil. They are hand-painting it.
Oh.
Okay, that's okay. Cool. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
So there's your nuggie.
There you go.
I don't know why that's a...
Well, that's cool. I asked for a nuggie, and we got a nuggie.
Anthony Newman asked him specifically about the surface and what the surface was looking like there. So that's what got us to that.
Huh. That's a weird question.
Entry.
I mean, it's grass.
I don't know. It's a football guy question.
Did you say entering?
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, interesting. I just think it's weird that, like...
I do knew that.
There was once when I was buying a car.
You were.
I was leasing a car years ago. And it was a Ford Mustang, and they had the, you know, they have like the racing stripe on it. And the racing stripe from the factory was like, it was like an $800 option, right? To just put the two racing stripes down the top of it. Or you could choose the hand-painted one.
Nice.
Do you care to guess what the hand-painted one was?
I don't know, 10,000?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about 10 G's.
Yeah, man.
And I sat there and I was kind of scratching my head. And I remember asking the guy who was like, we were kind of placing the order with, I was like, what's the difference? He's like, one's hand painted. I'm like, can you tell the difference? He's like, well, no. I mean, the factory one is like, it's laser. I mean,
so you're
it's
painted
like,
10 grand just to be able to say it was hand painted.
It's perfect. And that's when I was kind of like, yeah, so you're paying $10,000 to tell someone. I feel like that's kind of the thing with the field. Like if we painted the field with the machine, the stencil, as opposed to hand painting, Couldn't you make the argument that the stencil one would be sharper and better than the hand-painted one?
You could make that
You could
argument.
Definitely make that argument.
That was kind of my thing. I was
but
like,
this is the we care more flex, you know?
You know what?
Care more.
Buck needs to send a message to that Rose Bowl board.
Yeah. Aren't you involved in that, Buck?
No, I'm not involved in that. Again, I don't even know where my ticket is coming from, but it has something to do with someone's company being on the board.
Interesting.
How many people at that game will have no idea where their tickets are coming from? Not that many.
Your white privilege. Unbelievable, Buckley. Although,
well,
kudos
not,
to you.
You know what? I'll find out by the end of the show.
Kudos to you for using your white privilege, though. I mean,
okay,
if you didn't
so,
use it,
hey, I'm using friendship.
She's being wasted.
10 a.m.
My friend reached out.
You get Texas, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Now, this, you know, we could probably have the exact same conversation that we just had about Penn State, Boise State.
It is a little bit in the same
it's
way
similar.
Where if Arizona State wins, although with Arizona State, I'll say this. Obviously, Scataboo and Genty, it's the same thing, right? Both yeah. teams, solid quarterbacks, don't really scare you. Their offense is built around one guy and one guy only. You stop him and everything kind of clogs down. Arizona State, I think, is 6-1 in one score games. They've been pulling things out of the fire. They live in the margins, and they have an opportunistic defense that plays well in the red zone, and Texas leaves points in the red zone. Like, that's at least a case that can be made, but it does feel like there's really only one path, and that is Genty and Scataboo going badass crazy.
Yeah, I think that's right. And Levitt's good.
It's okay.
I think he's good. I think he's better than okay, but those two guys, Scataboo and Levitt, are going to have to be heroes because they have nobody else.
Well, and the problem with Arizona,
their top wide receiver is still out.
Is out.
And, he's out for the year.
And when I say top wide receiver, he's really their only receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jordan Tyson is the guy we're talking about.
So they have one way to win.
Yeah, 75 catches for 1,100 yards. Would you care to guess who their second best receiver is?
Well, he got a tutty against Iowa State.
The second best receiver is...
Oh,
Ken
is
Scataboo.
It Scataboo? Okay.
With gotcha. 30, so it goes
they
from...
They had a guy against Iowa State that I thought looked
Gilroy.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
he looked all right.
He was the Native American guy, I think, that kept doing the cool celebration. Tyson had 75 catches. Scam Scataboo, 37. Gilroy,
did
the
you
guy...
you just call him Scam Scataboo?
Cam Scataboo, 39.
You're on fire today.
Catches. And
are you drunk?
Gilroy, the guy you're... I wish.
Jazz Chisholm's.
19 catches.
Yeah, no, I have a hunt. Okay, I'm gonna have a hot take on this one, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
I did not have a hot take on Penn State, Boise State. I have a hot take on this game. And it's scalding.
Oh, I love it.
It's scalding. Do you remember Dan Lanning's first game at Oregon?
I do remember Dan Lanning's first game at Oregon.
Do you remember what happened in that game?
Yeah, was it 60?
Lost by 46.
Yeah, it was a lot to a little.
I think that's this game. I do.
You just gets,
and it, I know everybody's jocking Arizona State because we really want Arizona State.
And they're a great story.
They are a great story. And we like Kenny Dillingham. He's got the Oregon ties. And they're a big underdog. And nobody likes Texas, right? Unless you're a Texas fan. I see similarities in how this game sets up to that Lanning game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Texas is if not the second most talented team in this whole tournament, in the whole country.
Elite defense.
They are absolutely elite, pretty much all over the place. Georgia was then against Oregon. And remember that Oregon team that Dan Lanning had? No, that was his first game. So that's where it deviates a little bit. This is not Dillingham's first game. But I don't think he's got Arizona State nearly to the place where you can go toe-to-toe with a team like Texas.
Sure.
And we never know that until they lace them up. And we found that out the hard way when Oregon played Georgia. It was like, oh, remember that spread? It was like 3.
Yeah.
Oregon got absolutely demolished.
It was ugly.
And that was a good Oregon team. I don't know if you remember, but that team won 10 games.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of similarities there. Again, I know this is a hot take, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I have no idea how Arizona State's defense slows down Texas in any way. I mean, I was looking them up today. Arizona State's defense ranks 71st in the country.
Yeah, it's not
they great. Have no pass rush, and they have a bad secondary. Yeah. Texas has, and look, you kind of glossed over it, but you mentioned the only thing that points to Arizona State is that you should never, ever in a million years trust Steve Sarkisian or even to some degree Quinn Ewers.
Arizona,
they will let you hang around, but I even think they are so much better at so many positions against Arizona State in this game, I don't even think they're capable of letting Arizona State hang around. Unless Scataboo, like you said, unless Scataboo just runs all over them, which I don't see happening, I think Arizona State is going to get absolutely drilled. The other thing that leads me to that is, you know, with unbalanced schedules in college football, we're always comparing teams. This was the whole argument, and comparing leagues, right? This was the whole argument about, oh, these SEC teams are so much better, they deserve to be in over the SMUs and the Indianas or whatever. Okay, well, guess what? Now that we're in actual bowl games, we get to see them line up against other teams from other leagues that they didn't play this year. And guess what's happening? The Big Ten is smoking the SEC. So the Big Ten didn't look that, outside of Oregon, and of course we know Ohio State's really good, but you know they even had their ups and downs. The Big Ten didn't jump off the page at you this year, but guess what? The Big Ten's damn good. Yeah. Michigan just beat Alabama. Illinois beat South Carolina. Some people were jocking South Carolina for this tournament. USC beat Texas A&M. I don't know if you've seen that USC quarterback. I don't know if that dude's it or not, but he shouldn't be it.
No.
And they still beat Texas A&M, and A&M was in the playoff conversation towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Ohio State absolutely boat raced Tennessee, and Tennessee was one of the top two teams in the league. The only of those two leagues, the only game that they won, the SEC, was Missouri beat Iowa.
And that was a comeback.
They had to come back to do it. Now, what I'm getting at is, look at the Big 12 in bowl games. They're getting smoked. Arkansas beat Texas Tech. Baylor, everybody was jocking Baylor, one of the hottest teams in the country. Well, Baylor was one of the hottest teams in the country. LSU has all these opt-outs, and I don't know if you saw the score. Last I checked, it was up on the screen over there. LSU is up by 21.
Yeah.
There was another one. West Virginia. Again, these are just Big 12 teams I'm pointing out. West Virginia got beat by a team from the American Athletic. Yeah. I think there's even... Oh, Rutgers! Rutgers! Oh, no, they lost. Rutgers almost beat Kansas State. They scored 40 on Kansas State, but lost. My point is, the Big 12 isn't even close to the SEC, and I think you're going to see that when Texas beats the living crap out of Arizona State. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but that is my hot take on that game.
I wish I could throw some sort of thing at you to say I disagree. And I mentioned it earlier, the only thing, and you brought it up, the only thing that would give me pause is Arizona State has a really timely defense in the red zone, right? They play good red zone defense. They come up with turnovers and they hold people to field goals. You know who's one of the worst red zone offenses in the country? Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. It's weird because you would think with all the talent they have and their ability to run the ball and Quinn Ewers and some good receivers and Bond, yeah, and these guys.
You can't trust them.
They will leave points on the board, and that's the only thing that gives me pause is that if Arizona State can run the ball and muck this up and shorten the game, right? Limited possessions, because if you find a way to limit it down to 12 or 13 possessions and you can get Texas that shoots themselves in the foot a couple times, forces some field goals, or maybe you get a turnover down there in the red zone, that's how a team like Arizona State can hang around. But
well, they need Ewers to give them the ball.
Yes.
And Ewers is certainly capable of giving them the ball.
Sure.
I just think that all the stuff that we say that's negative about Texas, I don't know that Arizona State can force that out of Texas in this particular matchup because they just do not have the horses outside of this Scataboo.
And when you look at Arizona State this year and the one score game over Mississippi State, one score game over Texas State.
Wait, stop right there. Mississippi State, one score game. What was the score of that game?
30-23.
Do you know how bad Mississippi State was this year?
Yeah.
That was one of the worst teams, if not the worst, in the SEC.
Remember, we watched the game where they eked it out against Texas Tech. They eked one out against Kansas, and Kansas wasn't a bad team, but they eked one out there. They eked one out against Central Florida.
They tried to blow the BYU game.
Tried to blow the BYU game. In fact, BYU ended up catching a pass on the 2-yard line that would have won the game. It's like, and they played well against Arizona State, but it is definitely one of those when you look up and down, and we may find out that the best, and BYU was a good team. BYU wasn't great.
I just don't think the Big 12 is good, dude.
We may find out that that's their best win, and we may find out, like what you said,
that's what I'm saying.
The wins on the border. This might be a little more Indiana than it is.
Yeah, you know, I think they're better than, well, I don't know that they're better than Indiana. I just think they're going to get exposed.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Boise State will get exposed against Penn State. I have a hunch Arizona State is about to get bludgeoned. And I like I said, I'm really going to be rooting for Arizona State.
I would tend to agree that if you asked me which one of those, I said, I got to pick an upset, right? One of those two teams, the gun to my head, I got to pick one of those, my metaphorical sports gun.
It's
I would take Boise State over Arizona State.
Couldn't agree more.
Arizona State just, boy, they've got a swagger, though. I'll say that.
I mean, they're
those
cocky.
Those sons of guns are cocky.
Yeah, but Texas, you know, the other thing about Texas, last week, or was it last week? When they played Clemson, they ran all over Clemson. And Texas, you know, the thing about them is everybody talks about Ewers. Yeah. Their run game is really clicking,
and they're down a couple. They're down a couple backs.
Well,
and
they're
it doesn't
back
seem
now.
To matter.
Well, they're back. Blue's back, or what's his nuts? Blue, right? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, he's Jaden
back.
Blue.
But both the guys that they lost were back, and they are running all over. And Clemson's a pretty good defense, I think. I got to tell you, if it weren't Steve Sarkisian.
Right,
that's the team.
One, that's the one you're like, yeah, Steve.
Yeah, I think he can blow any game at any time. Okay,
that's true.
Maybe not this one.
King of the pucker,
and Ewers is a little shaky too. Like I don't trust him either.
Yeah, Blue and Wisner both ran for over 7.5 yards a carry against SMU.
Yeah, dude, they are. Dan Lanning has told us this when we interview him every week. When it comes down to this point in the season. It really does come back to running the football.
Yeah.
You know, NFL teams will say this in the playoffs, too. Even though, you know, like the Lions are slinging it all over the place, you know, they run the hell out of the ball, too. So I just feel like Texas is that one team. And I think Ohio State might do this tomorrow, too. You can see them run a lot more effectively. Yeah. And I think Texas is going to – I have no idea how Arizona State stops that from Texas. And then, oh, by the way, if they need Quinn Ewers, they can put Quinn Ewers – to work over the top, but I don't think they're going to need to. I think they're just going to absolutely line up and pound Arizona State.
We'll see what happens, but that's kind of the fun part is, you know, can we get a David versus Goliath? Because even though it's the Big 12, Arizona State was picked to finish almost dead last. I think they were
exactly
picked, yeah. And so it, while
for
it
a
is,
reason.
While it is a great story, David and Goliath is a fun story, but what usually happens is David ends up getting stomped on by Goliath, and then we're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, and if little David gets pulverized tonight and tomorrow morning, we're going to complain about it again.
Yes, so you're going to hear – you're
and,
right. You're going to hear a
sucks.
Lot about that.
I don't want to hear it because –
Well, the other thing is, okay, that may happen in these two games, but those other two games, dynamite matchups.
Yes.
Right? So so just – yes, by noon tomorrow, you may have social media filled with, oh, they, you know, this team didn't deserve to be there. And look at this. The chalk wins again by a lot. Who cares? Just wait for Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia, Notre Dame. You can't get better matchups than those
because
two.
Isn't that the beauty of sports is that, yes, it David and Goliath does not happen that often, but the opportunity for it to happen is what keeps you watching.
That's right.
Because when it does happen, when you do see the upset, that's when TCU beats Michigan and goes and plays for a national title. And I know it's a bummer that they get boat raced by Georgia, but you can't sit there and say that TCU didn't belong or that because a team gets blown out that no other team should ever get that chance. That's the whataboutism that I hate. If these two teams get blown out, right, we're going to sit there and say, well, we can never give these teams
well,
you know, chances.
Who do you want to put in there? Alabama, they just lost to Michigan.
Exactly.
So
no one wants to put different teams in. They just want the seeding to be different.
Oh, yeah. Well, that it's fair. It's a fair argument, okay? But there's nothing we can do about it now.
Exactly.
These are the teams just got to play it out and have fun.
They earned their way in. Arizona State earned their way in. Boise State earned their way in, and they get their shot. And if they can't take advantage of it, by the way, they're both massive underdogs. They're not supposed to.
If they can't take advantage of it, I think what you're saying is we shouldn't take away the opportunity for them. Just because they lose,
so,
or if they lose.
Yeah, so this is what we're going to do now. What some people want is we get to this point, and if Vegas thinks you're more than a 2-touchdown underdog, then we don't have to play the game. That's just dumb.
Lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go. Kenny Dillingham might
lace
have
them
a little,
up, you little bitch. Let's go.
He might have a little something for Sark.
I'm not going to lie. Dillingham Sark in the
could be a fight.
Chubby, cherub, angry fat boy coach game could be phenomenal sideline fodder.
Yes. Could be a fight. All right. Well, now to the good ones. Okay. Who do we trust more, Georgia without its quarterback or Notre Dame? We'll get to that one next on The Fan.